In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. It's wonderful to see other people and mildly off-putting at the same time. we get so used to things, don't we? And over a number of weeks, I've grown used to preaching to this camera, and hopefully there's still somebody on the other side of it looking. I'll try to remember to look at you after I've spent weeks remembering to look at you. So here we are, gathered back together on this Trinity Sunday, or as we like to call it in the business, Heresy Sunday, as we try to explain the unexplainable on this wonderful day. I'm not going to bother, because I can't explain it. Our Eastern brothers and sisters have it down pretty well when they would just say, it is just a mystery. And for that, we will just say, it's a mystery. But I do want to look at these final words in Matthew, which we don't usually hear on Trinity Sunday unless you're at a place that has a daily mass, and they would do it very early, or they would do it as a vigil. But, I get to decide, so we're using it, our principal service. And so here it is, this concept, these final words from Jesus in the Gospel according to Matthew. I mean, they're the final words. So I thought, well, maybe we should pay really close attention to them. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. Sounds good, doing what they're told. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, there's been a lot of ink spilled on what that means, what that word means. Who were they referring to? Who was the evangelist who wrote this referring to? And there's lots of explanations, but one that I found that seemed like a good one is it wasn't necessarily speaking of doubt as unbelief. It was more of a hesitation or an indecision. And I think, well, what better thing to think about as we gather to worship God on Trinity Sunday when we are trying to think through this mystery of a Trinitarian God? One God, three persons. And we can all look at that and go, well, maybe we're not 100% sure about that. But it was coming from the risen Lord to his disciples. So even if there was some hesitation in the midst of them, even if there was some indecision about what was going on, the one thing they were sure of is this risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Oh, that sounds so nice. I can't hear you when you're at home. I hope you're still saying things. It's a dialogue for me. And then he keeps going. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Go. And even in the midst of their worshiping the risen Lord and their doubt, some, depending on your translation, he said, go. And by the simple fact that we exist, we know they did. Amen? If they hadn't gone, there would be no church. So here's the church, struggling to do the best it can in yet a new season of ministry, and a new season in our society, and we may be wondering again. Maybe we are called deep within to worship God, and then we look around us and we wonder, is he here? Well, that's not new, brothers and sisters. We're hearing it right here, right now. The very first time Jesus told the church to go, they were worshiping and wondering, and perhaps doubting and hesitant and maybe a little indecisive. Now, there's things that we do along the way that we don't think anything about. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We get that part. The baptized part. We talk about going and baptizing, we're like, woohoo, we want a baptism. You know, especially us. I mean, we kind of make a big deal out of it, don't we? Yeah. And we know exactly how to do it. We know to send them to classes and tell them all about their baptismal covenant that they're about to stand and take before God and the whole church. And we take it with those who are being baptized. And we think nothing of it other than the fact that it's just a great day for the church, that we've baptized someone into the body of Christ. But when I say to you, go make disciples, where's your hesitance? It kind of catches you, doesn't it? I mean, it catches me. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means this simply, teach people to follow Jesus is what it means. And we shouldn't be overly concerned, by the way, about these feelings unless they stop us from being the church. See, we can't let the doubt win. His disciples didn't let this doubt win. They let their worship of the risen Lord win. And we should take that as a good example for ourselves. I want to share this with you. This is a book I just bought for this occasion of doubt and wondering. I'm going to read this to you. There is so much contradiction in my soul, such deep longing for God, so deep that it is painful, a suffering continual, and yet not wanted by God, repulsed, empty, no faith, no love, no zeal. Souls hold no attraction. Heaven means nothing. To me, it looks like an empty place. The thought of it means nothing to me. And yet, this torturing longing for God. Pray for me, please, that I keep smiling at him in spite of everything. For I am only his, so he has every right over me. I am perfectly happy to be nobody, even to God. You can hear a little hesitance and doubt in there, can't you? Just not sure if God is there. Yet a hint, not feeling God, but knowing God is there. And you may say, well, who would feel that way about God? And maybe some of you already know. A real life modern day saint for us, Mother Teresa. Her words to her confessor, words she begged them to destroy, yet they didn't. And then sometime after her death, this book was published, and the secular world, those who don't believe, rejoiced, and the church got a little nervous for just a moment, didn't they? Maybe you remember when it happened. I do. Mother Teresa never stopped doing that which God called her to do. And we know the work she did in Calcutta, the picking up of those who were, the children literally dying in the street, and she and the sisters would go and pick them up and love and care for them. And in the midst of that, after her passing and these letters coming to light, some in the world said, look, even she didn't believe in God in the midst of all she was doing. But she never said that. What she said is, I don't really feel like God's here with me. But what she actually determined, and if you read through the entire book and had a deeper understanding of where she is, it may help us with ourselves. What she was beginning to understand is she was nothing without God. And if all she could do is be the hands and feet of God, and she gained absolutely nothing for it, especially a known presence of him with her, she would do the work anyway. So often we move into our lives of ministry and we're thinking, well, God must be here with me for me to do the work. But we know what the work is. And sometimes in the midst of the work, what's happening is we are understanding we can't control everything around us. And God is saying, do it anyway. He never said it would be, never said it would be easy. Those disciples, those 11 that were standing there this day, hearing from the risen Lord that they are to go, And they went. Well, their stories didn't come out beautifully, did they? Or did they? From a worldly perspective, it didn't look so good. But from a heavenly perspective, they were obedient to the call that God gave them. So in this time, in this world, as we are the church, attempting to gather and remembering to worship our God and looking out around us and within our community and across this country and across the world, in the midst of disease and in the midst of financial distress for our brothers and sisters and for some of us, and in the midst of those who have had more than they can take, and in the midst of protesting and in the midst of all that we see on the news, brothers and sisters, sometimes we may look up and say, where is God? And I will tell you, he is here. He is with you. He is working with you. He is working through you. And brothers and sisters, he's working on you. And sometimes that leaves us in a place where we are driven to turn to him and say, God, where are you? So that we can sit in that and wonder and then gain again the understanding he is here. And sometimes in these difficult moments, he's even more here. But we've been trained that it's supposed to be this wonderful, warm, fuzzy feeling. And sometimes it just isn't. Anything you have done, any relationship you have been in has had its moments, I guarantee it, where you have thought, what am I doing? Should I still be doing this? Well, if you're feeling like that as the church, as things seem to be spinning out of control, I would say, good. Good. Learn in it. Learn from it. And know that God is here. And just like in any other thing that we may do, any other relationship we may have, we just know the bigger picture, don't we? Well, we know the bigger picture. As we think of this Trinitarian God, one God, three persons, who, by the grace of Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection, we, those who proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, we have been grafted in to this relationship with God. We have heard it over and over. As you are in me, I am in them. That's us. This mysterious relationship of God, we, as his disciples, baptized in, are part of that relationship too. And sometimes it can't be explained, can it? And sometimes we wonder, should I still be in this relationship? Am I still in the relationship? And I would say yes, because the big picture is always there. So it's not just go, brothers and sisters, it's keep going. So how did Mother Teresa, with those thoughts in the depths of her soul, continue to get up each day and walk into the streets and pick up the sick and the dying children and love and care for them? How did she do it? Well, she did it the very same way that the disciples went forth and heard the call to go, the command to go, to make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. She did exactly what they did on that day. She worshiped this God, our God, and they worshiped God. They saw and heard their call from the risen Lord, just as she saw and heard her call from the risen Lord. How did they do it? The bigger picture, brothers and sisters. Every moment isn't going to feel like the moment, but the life is still in Christ. We are still called to go and to keep going. Mother Teresa kept going because she knew the truth of a risen Lord in Jesus Christ. She kept going. And that was so much bigger than she was. And that mattered more than anything. So we too can take comfort in knowing that if we're honest, we have moments where we wonder, don't we? We do. But Jesus is real. The risen Lord is among us. The power of the very Spirit of God indwells us. And when we know that, we can do all that He has called us to do, even most especially on the days when we just don't feel it. So this day, rejoice. As we think about and wonder about this mysterious one God in three persons, don't forget, by the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, you, me, all who proclaim Him, all who have decided to follow Him as His disciples, all who have been baptized into the body, have been brought into that relationship with God. Let us rejoice. Amen.